do something really, well, not really unusual. It's actually pretty common in a lot of churches, but I don't think we've done this since I've been here. Because we have, excuse me while I turn on our YouTube feed for folks who cannot be here, start streaming, yes, thank you technology. Usually I give about a 20-minute sermon, but because we have finally finished the New Beginnings process, we have some stuff to talk about what we have decided, about who we want to be and where we want to go. So, in a way, this is a sermon, but it's also kind of a State of the Union address. So, I thought about doing this whole thing in my Obama voice, but I'm not going to do it, because it would be ridiculous, my fellow Americans. And so, after I finish my sermon, we're going to do what's called a talk back. I'm going to do a brief sermon, and then we're going to have time for questions, where we discuss what's going on. So, a couple of other things I want to say. If you've never been here before, at this church we don't believe that God necessarily has or fits into one particular gender box. And so throughout my sermon I switch pronouns, he, she, her, his. And the other thing that you should probably know about me is that I think that laughter is holy and healing. And so we're going to start with something funny today. I heard about Jesus and the devil were having an argument about who was better with technology. And Jesus said, oh, but Facebook, it keeps you connected to all your friends and family. And the devil said, yeah, but I'm great at using Facebook. I spread all that news and all that division. And they fought and fought and fought. And finally God said, okay, we're going to solve this way. You each have half an hour to create a PowerPoint presentation, however long you want, with bullet points and hot links and embedded media, whatever you want, about why you're better at technology. And so they opened their MacBooks and they worked away and they worked away and they worked away. And about 25 minutes in, the power went out. And then it came back on, and they both went to retrieve their work, and the devil couldn't find his PowerPoint presentation. It was gone, and meanwhile, Jesus pulled his right back on up. And the devil said, how did you get that? How did you do that? That's not fair. You must have cheated. And Jesus said, well, the devil is a tempter, but Jesus saves. See, it's a joke and a lesson. May these words be to God's glory. When you were a kid, did you ever run into one of your teachers at the grocery store or see your pastor at a PTA meeting? It's kind of weird, right? When someone is in authority is seen out of context, not inhabiting the role that you're used to seeing them in, it's a little bit disorienting. As one character in the movie Mean Girls said when she saw her math teacher at the mall, I love seeing teachers outside of school. It's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. Or what about the Clark Kent phenomenon? How is it that no one recognizes Superman just because he's wearing glasses? Well, no one expects Superman to be working a middle-class job at a newspaper. Since the possibility that meek, nerdy Clark could possibly be the Man of Steel seems so ludicrous, no one ever catches him cleaning his glasses at his desk and goes, didn't I see a picture of you out in front of the Fortress of Solitude on BuzzFeed last week? In the same way, often, we get used to seeing God in the same ways, in the same places. Those of us who have found God in church many times before may come to expect her only here. We come to worship seeking God and we find him in familiar patterns of song and prayer, as we have many times before. If we have heard God in the Bible, we will expect that when we open it again, we'll find him once again in those same pages. We seek God where we have found her before. Now the trouble is, sometimes God appears in a new way. And if we're not careful, we may not recognize her simply because we aren't expecting to see her there. This is what happened in the scripture for today. So to recap, two disciples were walking down the road when they came upon the risen Christ himself. But they didn't recognize him because they knew Jesus was dead. And even though the women had said he was alive, what were the chances that the guy that they ran into was the risen Christ? They weren't looking for him, so they didn't see him. Now, as they walked, they told the stranger about what had happened to their friend Jesus. The stranger, for his part, taught them all about the scriptures and explained how the holy text supported exactly what had happened. And still, the disciples didn't know it was him. Finally, the disciples reached their destination. And this is key. They invited the stranger in. They didn't know him, But the scripture said that they, quote, urged him strongly to join them for supper. And when Jesus broke the bread, then they recognized him. After he had gone, they said to each other, "We knew it! Something told us that this man was special. When he was teaching us the scriptures, our hearts were burning within us." This past Thursday, the New Beginnings small group leaders met for the second time to discuss what we as a congregation have come up with in this process. Now, Campbell UCC has a long and proud history, like over 100 years, of fairly traditional worship, meaning hymns, a sermon, communal prayer, also a full-time pastor, and what might be called a tried-and-true method of growing closer to God. We even have the building, a very traditionally Christian-looking building, to back it up. Now, this provides a sense of history, a sense of stability, and these are vital things in the modern world that feels like it's speeding up and becoming less safe. No matter what age you are, it's good to feel rooted. But during New Beginnings, group members began to feel their hearts burning within them for something else, for new ways that Christ may already be walking with us. So first of all, let me say, we will be keeping the building, and obviously we can't merge with Bayshore, unfortunately. So with that said, one of the most common notes we received was that we need a new mission statement. We don't really know what we're trying to do as a community. Many people said that they were proud of the food pantry, and we are, but they also said that the reality is that most of us can't actually participate in it because of the hours of operation. Folks also wondered if perhaps we were invested in the pantry because it's the only mission we really have. A lot of folks thought the pantry was bustling with people needing help and were surprised to learn that if the pantry gets 5 or 10 clients a day, it's a really good day. People asked, is homeless ministry our mission? Or is it just something that we happen to do? Other folks mentioned the energy and fruitfulness of the Lighted Window program, particularly the last two plays we've done, and now the karaoke apparently was popping. They talked about the possibilities of lectures about spirituality or ecology, or more plays with discussion groups like the kind that packed the sanctuary after 12 Angry Women. They saw Christ walking with us already, and they knew it because their hearts were already burning within them about it. Orchard City Indivisible, that meets on Tuesdays, is another group to partner with where Christ may already be walking alongside us. Even though they're a secular organization, they defend immigrants, LGBTQ folks, all those progressive causes that we want to serve. Perhaps we could serve them dinner some Tuesday night before their meeting, someone suggested, just to get acquainted. Still others talked about the possibilities of groups meant to address the specific challenges of living in Silicon Valley. For example, classes on parenthood for new parents, or a parents' night out where parents could drop their kids off for a fun night with us while they spent much-needed time with their spouses or dare to dream, just be by themselves for a minute. A few groups suggested opening the sanctuary for meditation time. One thing that many people agreed on is that we do worship really well. I agree with that, but I want to add, after collecting those surveys a while back, that we do worship really well for people who are already here. This is very, very valuable. But we do need to address the fact that the way we worship sometimes doesn't work well for visitors or for younger folks, and that's okay. For example, I've touched on this in a previous sermon, but many millennials don't understand the necessity of holding worship on a Sunday morning, especially if they work in tech, because they want one morning a week where they can sleep in or see their friends for brunch. Some New Beginnings groups proposed using instruments in addition to the piano in worship, or using liturgical dance or art, and suggested field trips to other congregations to see how they worship and how we might network with them. A lot of people also asked if I might be convinced to stay on as your pastor, and I think I should address that too. First of all, I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity. Wanted to make sure it was on. It's been wonderful. And now, much to my own shock, I plan on pursuing parish ministry as my call, and I never would have done that if you hadn't given me this opportunity. I would never have known how much I enjoy this without you, so thank you. However, the conference has explained that my license will only extend to July 9th. July 9th is my last day with you, and here's why. When a congregation has to find a pastor, and you know this because we have sought pastors a lot over the last several years, they must ask themselves who they are and then ask themselves who they need their pastor to be. While I'm thrilled to have been of service, the reality is that you didn't choose me from a pool of qualified candidates. I already happen to be here. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that God was at work when this happened, but in the same way that Jesus appeared in different ways throughout his ministry, I think that God is leading this congregation to ask itself and seek for itself where Jesus is now, instead of just looking for someone to help fill a role in a system that's already changing. In other words, we don't need a Clark Kent mask to put on the fantastic stranger who's already walking with us. We need to accept who he already is and listen to what he's telling us. As one group leader said, we're on a treadmill of weekly worship. And I've more or less maintained the status quo because I promised not to change everything while we did New Beginnings. But this path that's just me helping us maintain what we've always done is one of slow and steady decline of, yeah, that's good enough for now. We can do better. We can do so much better than that. So, here's how we're going to start. First, we need a new mission statement. And the first draft, which is a kind of straw mission we came up with Thursday, is this. Can you bring up the slide? Campbell UCC is a God-centered performance and social justice center of the community. We put on plays, have discussions and support groups, and connect with the divine in diverse worship. Let's leave that up there so we can kind of review it. Now, this is a first draft. This is our very first crack at it, but it incorporates Lighted Window, which is such an on-fire ministry already. It incorporates small groups, and it incorporates worship. But of course, we still need to decide what our ministry is, whether it's ministry to the homeless, advocacy for LGBTQ folks, environmental stewardship, or something else. I think this congregation is very familiar with what happens when too many things are tried at once. As the old Russian saying goes, if you chase two rabbits at once, you'll lose both. And most groups talked about burnout, the fact that the same folks are leading week in and week out, and they need more congregational engagement. A new mission statement will help with that, but as we know, it has to come from what we already have the passion and energy to do ourselves, not what we want other people to do for us so we can go. CUCC has had times in the not-too-distant past where it was more congregationally led, and after being a part-time pastor who fills the needs of the congregation fairly well, I would say that we can probably do that again. We did say in New Beginnings small groups that we had a lot of passion and we just need some place to focus it. Next, New Beginnings leaders stated that we should start slow with experimenting in worship, and I think that's a great idea. So, during the month of June, we will be having worship at 6 p.m. rather than 10 a.m. Again, month of June, 6 p.m. rather than 10 a.m. Now, this will not guarantee that new members will flood the sanctuary, but it will get us thinking about what it feels like to worship a little differently. Now, I understand that some of you may not be able to make that time, and please know that you'll be missed. You will. And this is not an attempt to exclude anybody. It's just a move to help us think differently. Also, between now and the end of my tenure, I will organize field trips to other congregations in the area to join them in worship on Sunday mornings. I'll announce the trip the week before and put the information online and in the newsletter about where we're going and when. We may even be able to ask the choir to sing for the congregation we visit. I understand that we've done this before. If some of these field trips occur in June, and they might, we'll go to a service together in the morning and have our 6 p.m. service at night. In the story we've talked about today, the disciples don't recognize Jesus, even though they have an inkling that he's walking with them already. What makes the difference? They invite him in. They invite him in, and then he breaks the bread, which opens their eyes. Only after they've taken that leap of faith and welcomed this stranger, who both scares and inspires them, does he make himself known. So I want to challenge us today to heed the burning in our hearts and welcome our discomfort in. Now, it won't all go well. It won't. Maybe we'll hate meeting at 6 p.m. on Sundays. Maybe we'll find that we don't have the time or energy for missions, and we just want to focus on worship. In which case, we'll need to accept that if we want to get the visitors we regularly receive to come back, we'll have to change the way we worship a little bit. But back when I was first serving here, I preached a sermon on failing big. I know about failing big because one of the tenets of improv comedy, which I do in San Jose, is that as long as you're committed to whatever you're trying, and remember, improv is made up in front of 50 or 60 people, just like real life, you've never done it before. As long as you're committed to what you're trying, it'll go over well. It's when you're tentative or afraid or self-conscious that the audience feels bad for you, and then they don't laugh, even if what you do is hilarious. One lifelong member of the congregation has told me several times that he would rather try something weird and fail spectacularly than go out in a blaze of faith and commitment than simply keep marching on the way we have been and die slowly. And the consensus among the New Beginnings groups, and I'm really happy about this, is that we're ready for something new. So let's invite the stranger in. Let's trust the burning in our hearts rather than succumb to the fear of the unknown that has kept so many organizations stuck in the past. We have the time to figure it out, and this is it. Let's do it together. Let's be transformed so we can be transforming. Amen.